Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of HP Critical. It is a podcast where my friends and I talk all things gaming. I am Drell, and I am joined by Christy.
Hi, everybody.
Gabe.
Hello.
And Brandon.
What's up, people?
So we're going to have a pretty chill episode today, you know? I just want to see how you guys are doing. There is some stuff in the news that I want to talk about, but there's one big thing that I want to talk about that's kind of reemerged, which is Gamergate. But before we get there, let's start with some positives, which are how you guys been and what have you been playing, and are you anticipating playing anything in this next couple of weeks that's coming out?
I've just been
Go, Christy.
I was about to say I've just been very busy, so, but I did tell Brandon that I finished I finished FF1, FF2, and I'm almost done with FF3.
Yeah, I was shocked when she told me these things.
You have been very busy.
Yeah, she's been flying through these old school FF games. Like, damn.
I mean, they're easy to play if you put on the boosters. They're pretty much under 15 hours at most.
So it's not that bad. That is how I played 9 and 8, and I was like, oof! Imagine having to not do this on 4x speed. Sucks for old people.
Oh, 8 was fine on, you know, regular speed. I've done it before. There's a trick to it.
I haven't had a problem with it. I'm just saying so much faster to do it. Everything on 4x speed, like running through the school. Just, it's great. Why does anyone play it not fast?
FF7, doing it on 4x speed was the best.
Yeah, another great example. Yes, another one that's just like run across this world at 4x speed. Yes, great. Every old game should do that. If you're going to make an old game, please give us things that basically make us invincible and let us run at 4x the speed, because I promise you we're only playing these games for the story. We are not playing them for enjoyment, or at least me. I'm not playing them for enjoyment. I'm playing them for the story. I'm playing them to get them out.
I wouldn't mind if they brought back FF8 battle system. That was actually kind of fun. A bit annoying, but fun.
I didn't find 8 annoying. People think 8 is annoying?
Mm-hmm. It's a divisive FF game.
What's wrong with the junction system? You can like level up. You could be level 100 for nothing. Like, what's wrong with the junction system?
That's the reason why people say they don't like it. They're like, you can easily beat the game at level 20.
Wait,
they actually recommend.
People are upset that they're upset that you can beat the game at like level 1, but then they run and finish like Tears of the Kingdom or Breath of the Wild at level 1, but they're mad at Final Fantasy.
I think it's because they didn't understand the junction system.
No, they're the same people complaining Souls games are too hard.
Gabe, how you been? What have you been playing?
I've been good. Playing FF7 Remake. Not
Yay!
Rebirth. Also playing Overwatch because I hate myself.
Same.
Yeah, someone asked me the other day, like, why do you still play Overwatch? I was like, it's the need to feel better than everybody.
Because
when I rank up in a match, I'm like, yeah, fuck you. I'm getting out of this little niche here, but I go right back to it in like 2 days. What else have I been playing? Helldivers 2, Spreading Democracy, and Persona 3 Reload.
Yeah.
Which I just found out, I'm in the month of, I think, either July or August. And when you hit the network thing that shows you everyone else's progress is, everyone's at level 41 and they've explored 102 floors. I'm level 35 and I've only explored like 70 floors, so I'm like, explore Tartarus a little bit more.
That's funny.
Can I just say, Overwatch 2 is such a special game because I hate it and yet I go back to it like everyone else. Everyone you talk to, and I'm wearing a fucking Overwatch shirt right now, talk to will say Overwatch sucks, but to give Overwatch its props, when it first came out and when the team wasn't trash and when Jeff was still in charge of it, it was very special. There was not a game that was like it, and a lot of games tried to be like it, but they couldn't. And as far as hero shooters go, it's fun. It's trash. They keep making really bad balance issues. Like, they keep constantly changing the game where people are complaining about one thing, but then they change it, which breaks something else. And this is a constant cycle of breaking things. And then they just introduce new heroes to try to make you feel like it's not as broken as it is. And then, you know, characters like Reinhardt and Lucio have needed help for a very long time, and they haven't gotten it. And, you know, Mercy just gets nerfed every patch. But that's okay, because we deal with these things, and we come back because it's fun. It's fun to play with friends. It's fun to play hero shooters. Like, hero shooters are just enjoyable. That's why we had fun, Brandon and I had fun playing Foam Stars. Like, it's fun to take your character, use those abilities, and play with your team. Like, it's just a fun thing to do. And Overwatch has figured out the formula. So I think that's why we all go back, even though it's trash. Brandon, what about you?
This last week or so has been pretty good. Just been playing a few games on Switch. It's been primarily Mario vs. Donkey Kong. I'm trying to at least... I don't know if I'm going to do all that post-game content, but I want at least roll credits in that game. I played Animal Crossing New Horizons today. I was mentioning on chat literally because my Nintendo... Oh, yeah, the memories. There's literally my Nintendo mission saying, hey, play this game for 3 times this month and get some icons, which we're of mixed feelings about that. I personally don't really like it, but it gave me an excuse to try New Horizons again, so I was like, whatever. I guess I'll check out my island for 3 days and just see how I feel after that. And as far as I've also been playing Paper Mario on stream because, as we discussed last podcast, Thousand Year Door is coming out May 23rd. And so I am trying to finish all of Paper Mario on N64 before that happens. I'm on a pretty good streak so far, so I think that is a doable thing. And, of course, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Junon Region Chapter 4. Just taking my time, enjoying the world. And, it's been pretty fun in gaming lately.
Remind me, because I think we could talk about that on the podcast, the Nintendo points thing that we were talking about earlier. Sure. I know we've already gotten all of our ideas out on it, but I don't know how Chrissy and Gabe feel about it, so we'll discuss that real quick. We don't have it's okay, everything's chill. I have been playing a lot of games, and I have game suggestions that I think everyone should play, and no one here is going to play them, and that's okay, because everybody's busy playing other games. There's just too many good games out right now. Very much looking forward to Princess Peach Showtime. It's already pre-downloaded on my Switch. Unfortunately, I didn't pre-order it from Target so I can get that really cute little Princess Peach cup. Very disappointing. Also looking forward to Dragon's Dogma 2. I enjoyed Dragon's Dogma, the original. I didn't finish it. I liked it, but I didn't love it, so I stopped playing it. However, Dragon's Dogma 2 looks great, so very much looking forward to that. I am playing through Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. It is just a spectacular game. I have a byline and an article coming up where I do like a very tiny review of why you should play Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. So I'll probably link that in the show notes along with Brandon's Twitch so you guys can watch his streams. I will be there. And, you know, I've been playing... I'm sorry. Rebirth is very good. I like it a lot. I am on chapter 9, and I really need Brandon to get to chapter 9, and then I need Chrissy to get to chapter 9, and then I need Gabe to finish Remake so that he can move on to Intergrade, and then Rebirth, and then get to chapter 9. so hurry up!
Chrissy would probably be able to talk to you about it first, because I am going as slow as a turtle, and that is
okay. I slowed down because
I'm a happy turtle.
I slowed down because I was going through, and then I ended up getting to a point in the story that was just like, I can't stop here. Like, I need to know what happens. And I was able
I have to ask, is it that you had to know what happens, or is it like that thing that I talked about a few podcasts ago in FF16 where the side quest came at a ridiculous point in the story? It's like, absolutely not. There's something urgent happening.
No, not really, because you know how side quests work in this game. Like, you can explore and pick them up. So it wasn't like they all popped up. It was like, hey, this is the story. However, this new region just opened. You can go explore it now, or you can do, you know, the main story now. And so I just chose to, because it was so intriguing, I just chose to continue with the main story so that I could go back and do all the side quests, which I think is if 16 were like that, I guess 16's kind of like that.
Yeah, kind of.
I don't know. I just feel like there's more freedom in Rebirth to be able to revisit things if you want to than I felt like was in 16. But yeah, no, I was just like, no, yeah, I got to keep going. Like, I want to do this thing, so I have to keep going. And so now the reason I'm still on chapter 9 is because I went back to do some of the stuff that I skipped. So I'm doing that now. Because I don't want to replay this game. Oh, which reminds me. Okay, let me get through this. And then I have another quick topic that I want to ask you guys. I'm also playing Persona 3 Reload. I'm far behind everyone else. I'm playing Infinite Wealth. Also a great game. I'm very excited for Gabe to finally play Like a Dragon. He's probably going to be the first one on the podcast aside from me to play it because no one else has agreed to play Like a Dragon, even though you guys would love Like a Dragon. Brandon, you would love it. So I'm playing Infinite Wealth. Great. Also a really great game. I'm also playing... what else am I playing? Unicorn Overlord. Oh my god, I'm playing Unicorn Overlord. I started it on the weekend after I got off of work. And I accidentally played for 6 hours. And I was like, holy shit, what happened? Like, I was supposed to be playing Rebirth, and I just got sucked into Unicorn Overlord for 6 hours of gameplay. And I just got a character that I really wanted, and I was able to... It's a gambit system. For people who don't know, it's a gambit system, like Final Fantasy XII. So you don't actually do the battles. You set up for the battles, and then the battles run automatically based on the choices that you've made. You can skip them, you can watch them and see what works and what doesn't, and then you adjust accordingly. And like, it's really great. Character designs are great. Vanillaware and Atlus, two great companies. So like, them coming together to make this game, if you like Vanillaware games, if you like Atlus games, if you're a Persona fan, if you're a Fire Emblem fan, like, Unicorn Overlord is great. One of the directors of Tactics literally said, stop asking for a Tactics remake and go play Unicorn Overlord. So go play Unicorn Overlord. Because if you don't support these games, you know, like, they're gonna stop making them. But, I mean, the good news is the physical version was completely sold out in Japan, and the company had to apologize because they didn't have enough copies. But, you know, it's on Switch, and everything that's on Switch sells out in Japan. So yeah, that's what I've been playing. Dang, I forgot the question I was going to ask you guys. So I'll just move on to the other topic that Brandon and I were talking about earlier, which is recently on the Switch. So if you don't know, on the Nintendo Switch, you can go on to the My Nintendo section, I believe it is. You click on it, and then you can spend your silver reward coins on the ability to create icons, profile icons, for your Switch profile. And usually, if a new game comes out, the new game will be up there. It'll be available. You can get icons as long as it's published by Nintendo. It'll be up there. You can get icons for your Switch from that. Some staples include Animal Crossing, and I think, like, is Mario one of the staples on there? Like, there's usually a Mario option.
Well, yeah. I mean, it rotates every month, but Animal Crossing, because of the fact that they'll rotate it based on, like, the village or birthdays of the month and just other characters that are significant in that month, they'll rotate it by that. So Animal Crossing is always there. Mario ones typically are there. And then other than that, Splatoon 3 is also pretty popular there. But yeah, otherwise, they'll kind of rotate it by, you know, flavor. What game is coming out this month? Let's do some icons for that. And then so on. And if it's a drier week or so, then maybe they'll just re-roll some older ones. But yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah, it's usually always, it's always been, like you mentioned, always been Animal Crossing, and then to my knowledge, it's usually a mix between Splatoon and Mario, and then whatever game is released. So recently, I don't know how recently, because I don't know when it happened, I just know that it's been at least like a month. Before, you could just go in and purchase them with your coins. Now, you can no longer just go in and purchase these icons with your coins. To be able to access them, you now have to play the game at least 3 times in the month before you can go on and access these coins. This means...
Slight correction. Oh, sorry. Slight correction. That was the case. That's specifically the case for Animal Crossing. Yeah, the other one that recently does this, and Chrissy knows this, is Super Mario World. So if you play that Super Mario on NSO, you can do it. But that one only requires you to play it once. So I think it may be just for Animal Crossing just because of the nature of that game. But yeah, like, to your point, I think it looks like a lot of these other icon-based games are requiring you to play at least once.
And that has been for a lot of the NSO stuff too. Like you get coins for logging into NSO, and then you can just go on and like purchase them. Right? I think so.
Yeah, so how the missions work is like once a week there'll be a mission like play one game online or backup save data once. And then every now and then once a month you'll also get a mission, usually an NSO based mission. It'll be like play Super Mario Kart, get 50 points, or play this NES game, get 50 points. And then when they do those game trials as well, if you download that gameplay and play at least once during that period, you get 100 points. So there's those as well.
And then
so
you can use them to buy an icon.
Yeah. Or goodies on the Nintendo store too, which that is nice. True.
I thought those were for gold.
No, gold only gets you discounts on games that you purchase on the eShop.
What's platinum then?
Icons and goodies at the My Nintendo store.
Okay.
Digital goodies too, but mostly physical stuff, yeah.
So let's talk specifically about Animal Crossing. So for Animal Crossing, it used to be that you could just log in and buy whatever you wanted using your platinum points. You did not have to log into Animal Crossing. As of now, you have to log into Animal Crossing at least 3 times a month to be able to access what used to be freely accessible by anyone. How do you guys feel about the way that they've changed the system for you to be able to spend your platinum points?
They're forcing us to try games.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. And for my part, it's kind of working because back then, like I mentioned the thing where you had to download those game trials and play it for 100 platinum points is nothing to sneeze at. That's a lot of points. But there are some games I just wouldn't do it for because the games that you were asking to play are ones that I were either legitimately had zero interest in or had huge downloads or both. Like I did MLB The Show on Switch. I tried it, you know. I was like, oh, whatever, 100 points. Damn, this is a big download. So I had to delete a whole bunch of stuff from my Switch. Then I played it and I was like, these graphics are ass. So it's just like, it's like, if I like the gameplay is fun. Like it's MLB The Show. This series has lasted for years. Like, of course it's fun. But I'm like, I would never play this on Switch. Like, so I just deleted a whole bunch of stuff just to like, you know, confirm for 15 minutes that this version is ass. So at that point I said never again for the sports games. Like they've had in the coming months, like NBA games. I think there was FIFA ones. Like, man, I'm good. I don't need those 100 points. I don't need to be deleting shit off my Switch just for a second. You literally only need to boot up the game for a second to get those 100. But that's 1 second too many. And that's too many deletions. One second too many and whatever deletions too many. I just can't do it anymore. But the whole point is like my point I was making is sometimes I would do it. Sometimes it would encourage me to try games if there were points on the line to do so, to play it for that second. And sometimes it wouldn't. So, you know, like Christy said, it's to encourage you to play games. And there's at least a small benefit to that, to giving you try something that you may not have otherwise tried. Or if you own a game, maybe check it out again. But I just don't necessarily like that it's forced upon you. Like, I can see the benefit, but I don't, Jarrell, you had said this on Slack, and I'm sure you're going to elaborate it on a second so the podcast audience can know. But the fact that it used to not require that and now that it does is kind of scummy. But go ahead and elaborate.
I think there's a little bit of a difference, right, between being able to download a game to get points and to be able to redeem your points.
Yeah.
And so I think, yes, I think I agreed 100% with everything you said about being able to try a game and get points. Like, that's great because that is the incentive to try a game. So do that. Continue to give us incentives to try games by giving us points. Or, hey, here is an extra 100 points for logging into Animal Crossing 3 times a month. Mm-hmm. However, stopping someone from redeeming the points they've already earned by forcing them to play a game, I don't like personally. I think that's kind of trash. And like you said, it's specifically because this has been free every month. I've been able to click in there, log in, and be like, oh, what Animal Crossing thing do I want to buy now? And now it's like, haha, you haven't played in a year. You can't buy shit. Well, guess what? This is not going to make me play. Now I'm not going to buy shit anyway because now I'm protesting. So it backfired. Now I'm not going to play Animal Crossing. Anyway, you know, I just think it's bad that companies give you something and then take it away.
You know, it's funny. Like, the first game that did this, like I mentioned before, was Super Mario World on Super Nintendo. That's like the first game to do it, and Animal Crossing is now the latest to do it, which shows that it's going to be a trend. It's funny because the last game that they had icons for were the first two Earthbound games. I wonder how people would have felt if, hey, to get these Earthbound icons, you have to play Earthbound. There sure are a lot of people that say they like Earthbound, but I wonder how many of them have actually played the game. Like, there's the meme was like if Mother 3 actually got localized, the meme was, man, Mother 3 fans are so excited to play the game for the first time. And to give a more relevant meme, Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door fans are so excited to play the game for the first time.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not like it's that meme has truth to it. Like, there's so many people that are going to be vocal about these things, and then they come out, and it's just like, okay, where the fuck all y'all people was? That was all of you wanted this thing so badly, and they finally relinquished, and nobody's like, oh yeah, I thought this was your favorite game. The fuck? Like, you better go buy 5 copies, because y'all wanted this so fucking bad. It's here, and then you don't even engage with it.
That's my biggest worry, that if Mother 3 ever gets localized, people will be like, oh, I actually didn't really want this.
Exactly, right? Like, we've wanted this for so long that now we don't want it.
A similar, not as egregious, because it did sell decently well, but new Pokemon Snap. How many years were people asking for a sequel to Pokemon Snap? And then it came out. And then, and again, it did sell decently well. But I know, I saw firsthand, there's so many people like,
literally, yeah. And then they just went and played the original on NSO. Why did y'all ask for this? Just play the fucking original on NSO like you did, and stop being like petty and crying for everything.
Right. Yeah. So. And yeah. Anyway, I'm not gonna say any more about that.
Lollipop Chainsaw is coming out again, and that was one of my favorite games. I'm not going to be like those people. I am buying that shit day one. I loved Lollipop Chainsaw. Grayson and I talked a shit ton about it when it first came out. If you haven't played it, definitely check it out when it comes out again. So I have two things that I want to talk about. One of them is Gamergate. One of them is the PlayStation 5 Pro rumor that's been going around. It's expected to release holiday 2024. It's supposed to support 8K, be 45% faster with rendering compared to the PS5, have an AI accelerator tech with 2 to 3 times ray tracing, and 33.5 teraflops. Which the PS5 has 10.2, so 33.5 versus 10.2 is quite a lot. And for a little bit of context, the reason that I laughed is because I was doing some freelancing for IGN once, and I was doing you guys probably know the story, but I was doing the guides for the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. And I was checking out Google Trends to see, you know, what are people asking about this system so I can make a guide for it. And one of the most popular search terms were, how many tera shits does PS5 have? Mm-hmm. And it was the funniest thing I had ever seen in my life. And so every time I see teraflops, it reminds me of that moment. Anyway, do you guys think that the PS5 Pro is real coming holiday 2024? And if it is, do we need or want this?
It sounds real, do not want, because they're still missing a very important feature. Still can't fucking do Bluetooth on it.
I was just going to say, is it your Bluetooth audio issue that still hasn't been
fixed?
What's
the point? What's the point of being a next-gen console and not having fucking Bluetooth, which is one of the most like common things? My fucking Odyssey Arc, which is a monitor, has Bluetooth.
But that's Switch why. Has Bluetooth.
Yeah, but like,
because a lot of people will connect the Bluetooth through their TV.
But
not
everyone's
going to
have, not everyone's going to have a TV. I mean, given nowadays, I think it's actually pretty common.
Yeah, it should be.
But like at the same time, like still though, like why can't, if my TV can have it, why can't my console do it? Like, it's just do that.
Well,
it's
because
not,
what would
again,
the
it's not a hard thing
from
to do
your console. Okay, so I'm not disagreeing with you. Yes, it should have, like, there is clearly a Bluetooth capability because our controllers are linked via Bluetooth, etc. I just think that a reason that it's not a big deal for most people is because most TVs have Bluetooth. So like my surround sound and sound bar are connected via Bluetooth from my TV that plays through the PS5, and I think that's what most people do. However, I do empathize with the fact that you're right, it's a very simple thing that they have the ability to do. I just know if they know that people want it.
My Switch has Bluetooth. Switch has Bluetooth. You gotta have Bluetooth.
So do you
simple. But also
how do you do Bluetooth with your Switch? via, like, what do you mean? How would you be able to do Bluetooth with your Switch in the way that you want to do it with your PS5?
Just connect it to whatever audio device you want. Like, my head, like, for example, these blue headphones, like, these are 1,000 times better than any gaming headset I own. And mind you, I own the PlayStation 1 too. But, like, these are just that much better. So you just connect it that way.
And you can't connect those to your PS5?
Nope.
They don't have a dongle that comes with it?
Nope.
To plug in? Oh, that's trash.
Yeah, it is. It's very trash. The only way I can do it is if I connect the wire to
so you
the
can controller. Do it.
But I hate doing it. No, that's not Bluetooth.
But you can connect
That's
them.
A wired connection. That's not my problem. My
you
problem
right?
is
I'm not Bluetooth. Disagreeing with you. I'm just saying you can use them, but you won't. They won't be wireless. Yeah.
Because wired sucks sometimes, you know, when you're screaming and all of a sudden your hands go up and
no,
you're
I don't.
In the way.
I don't scream while I play games, so no,
that's
I don't.
That's such a lie.
I do not, so I don't know what you're talking about.
But also, the reason I think it's, not think it's real, but, no, yeah, the reason I think it's real is because it's, you know, that one final attempt at the PS5 cash grab before they move on to the PS6, which, mind you, we already got the reports. Was it earlier this year or later last year where they were saying, you know, Sony's looking at the PS5 like it's like in the last stages of its life already.
Yeah, latter half is what they said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like me personally, I'm good with the 4K it gives me. Again, I must have really, really bad eyesight that I can never actually tell the difference between 2K, 4K, and 8K. So like 4K is my happy medium. I don't need that 8K right now. And even the only thing I will say, so... a remake. When I played it on my PS5, obviously it caps out at the 60. I only had I had a monitor that caps out at 60. I'm able to bump it up to 165 on my computer. Let me tell you that I can finally see the difference in FPS. For some odd reason, between 30 and 60, I don't see it that much. I see it, but I don't see it that much. But 60 to 165, I can see it. So if you want to get it for the FPS, that makes sense. I still think it's a waste of your money, especially, again, with the PS6 clearly looming sometime in the near future. Not near future. In the future. But, like, the 4K and 8K, I generally don't know what it is. I cannot see the difference. I don't know if I have my eyeballs all wrong, if I'm looking at something the wrong way, or if whenever I buy a monitor or I buy something that can support 8K, I never have it turned on, but I just can't see the difference between those.
So friend of the show, David, who's also been on the show, he is an advocate for graphics performance. And one of the things he was saying on Twitter, or X rather, was just how Rebirth doesn't look like a PS5 game to him. And I can 100% see where he's coming from. I don't necessarily agree 100%, but me personally, I'm gonna answer real quick. I would love a PS5 Pro. I would love that 8K support because I have the ability to play games in 8K with the current setup that I have. And I think that, something he alluded to is that the performance and graphics is so hard to notice now because everything looks good, and I completely agree with that, right? I think it's kind of the problem that Gabe has, like, it all looks good, so can you really tell the difference between, you know, will you be able to tell the difference between 4K and 8K? Can you really see the difference between 30 FPS and 60? Which, yes, you can. I don't know why you can't. Like, that's obvious. But I do think that the incremental graphics upgrades are getting harder to see now. So I do want something that is going to take the full potential of games that look as good as Rebirth, because anybody who's played Rebirth knows that the game is fucking pretty. However, there are still issues with visuals, because when Square does these games, they like to focus on character models as opposed to backgrounds. And I personally love that. Huh?
I've noticed that.
Yeah, like
when I play FF7 remake, I bumped up the graphics all the way, and like I'm like, wow, damn, Cloud looks really good. You know, the pores, the hair, the hair, what are they called? The single hairs,
follicles.
That you know, like yeah, the iris and the eyeball. And then I look at the ground, I'm like,
yes, exactly.
Why is that yeah. No textured?
Yeah, and you know, that's because they put a lot in their characters and their emotions. And I personally love it because I don't really pay that much attention to backgrounds, but I understand that people are upset when it happens. So give me a PS5 Pro, 100%. Like, I would be signed up for, because I like graphics. They are important to me. I want these games to look.
You crucify anyone that likes old games.
Because they look bad, and I want these games to look the best. So yeah, I'm down for it. I would buy one day one. What about you,
Christy? I will say, I can't see the difference, because before people were like, oh, this guy can't see graphics. I can't see the difference between 1080
and 4K.
2K. No, and 2K, because
the... I mean...
No, but, I mean, yeah, but like, even... trust me, Jarrell, back then, I used to be like, what is so special about 2K and 4K? This looks like regular HD TV to me.
But okay, but question... Were you playing on monitors that utilized it so that you could actually tell the difference?
Yeah.
So what the fuck wrong with your eyes?
I don't know. Like, the only time I've seen like a big jump between resolutions is so the art can upscale a game. Not all the way, but it can upscale it significantly. So when I played Tears of the Kingdom for the first time on this thing, it had the game mode turned on. So it upscaled it to 2K, 4K, and then upscaled it to 60 FPS. And I'm looking at the game, and I was like, did I mod my game while I was sleepwalking or something? I don't understand what's going on. So I can see it then. But I don't know, man. Just for some reason, 2K, 4K, 8K. I got to get my eyes checked. I need better glasses or something.
I mean, now that you have an arc, you'll be able to, and you see the difference. I think you would be able to appreciate moving up to 8K support. And Brandon, I'll go to you next, because... you have an LG C3 OLED or C2 OLED?
Leave a C2 OLED.
And that, I do believe, has capabilities to support 8K. So is the PS5 Pro something that you'd be interested in? And do you think it's real?
Yeah, I do think it's real. I think the details are a little bit too specific. I think this is a straight up leak that they can't really 100% verify, but there seems to be a bit too much smoke for there not to be fire. But that's just my thing. I thought I got it. Now, as far as whether I want it or not, the only thing I really, if I'm being perfectly honest, really understood from those spec talks was the 8K part. Everything else, my initial thought was, I don't care about any of this. I like, that was my initial reaction, that I don't really need nor necessarily want any of this, and then I'm okay with my PS5. We are also just getting into the point as well. This is also part of my initial thought process. We are now just now getting to the PS5 games that are exclusive to PS5. Like, we got, obviously there's a few launch titles that had it, and a few like here or there, like Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. But we're just now really starting to get into the generation that is like exclusive PS5 games. No PS4 version, just PS5 only. Like Spider-Man 2. We were just talking about Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth. And when we are just now getting away from the past generation to get those, it becomes harder for me personally to justify, yeah, we need the upgrade, when we haven't really seen what the current generation is capable of. Now, that being said, everything you have said, Jarrell, is a great point, because, you know, for those that have the setups that can support it, you know, there are obviously room for improvements, even though we are just seeing that what the PS5 really is capable of. There is still room to grow, and I think there is some potential there to see what's coming up next. I just don't know if I personally really need this at the moment. I haven't yet played a game yet that hasn't impressed me. That's on the PS5 exclusive front. That being said, all those features that they said, there is one thing that they will get me 100%, and that's you know how when you play a PS5 game or a game that also is on PS4, and then you go into the options and there's this little toggle, graphics and performance mode, where you have to choose between having 4K visuals or having 60 FPS. I just think of all those like PC ports where y'all can just do both. And I'm like, why can't I do this shit on PS5? Why do I gotta choose? Like, literally, I played a little bit of Remake Integrate before Rebirth came out, just to remind myself. And because that was a PS4 game that was made for PS5, it does do both. You have both 4K and 60 FPS. And then Crisis Core, obviously a way less powerful game, but if you play it on PS5, you get 4K and 60 FPS. And that shit looked beautiful. So I think of those two games and the fact that Rebirth, I chose graphics mode, because I want that game to look as beautiful as possible, and I'm okay with 30 FPS. So I was just like, oh, game, this game is so beautiful, but why can't I also have that course, 60 FPS that I also got with Remake Integrate and Crisis Core. That was great. It really depends. Side note, it does depend on the game for me. Like, if it's a graphic intensive game, I go with graphics, like I did that with Spider-Man 2. Then a game like Sonic Frontiers, I did performance because that's all about going fast. But anyway, that aside, I just don't want to choose, is my whole point I'm making about this. So if you tell me that the PS5 Pro will allow certain games to get a patch where they can now just be like, you know, like fully optimized 60 FPS and 4K or 8K, you might have just sold me. Just that one feature alone will sell me on getting a Pro, because I hate having to choose, if I'm being perfectly honest. It's bougie as hell, I admit, but that's what I want, man. I like if it's capable of both, I don't want to have to choose one or the other. I want to do both.
I kind of disagree with you on one point, which is that we're just now seeing what the PS5 can do. I kind of disagree. I think we've been seeing what it can do, and I think I agree more with what David said, which is that we have reached that point where the improvements are so incremental that it's like it's kind of hard to see how the for example, Final Fantasy 16 and Rebirth both look amazing. Like, mm-hmm. I can't tell you really that one looks better than the other. You know, Stellar Blade's going to come out, and I'm probably going to say, wow, this also looks amazing. You know, like, I think we've had...
as amazing?
No. I think we've had, Gabe, like...
you are such a bum.
I think we have kind of reached that point already. The point that you're alluding to that you think we haven't reached yet, I kind of disagree, and I think we have reached that already, because I like, these games were developed for PS5. Specifically with Rebirth, for example, they talked about how the only way they were able to make it and make it easier was because they designed it specifically for one console. So, like, this game was made for PS5. Yes. And I think it's kind of showing already that they've reached the point that you're alluding to. So that's the only thing I kind of disagree with. I do think that we've reached that point already, even with exclusive titles. I don't see anything coming out that's going to look better than what we already have in the next, like, 4 or 5 years.
That's fair. I will say this, though. If they are getting ready to, get this... Okay, two things. One, if they're getting ready to do this PS5 Pro as, like, in, you know, their mid-generation refresh slash... say that they are in the latter half of the PS5 title, I think we're past the point where PS4 versions need to exist for their new games, I would say. Like, for a game that's, like, I don't know, like, smaller scale or whatever, you can still do those PS4. But if you're doing, like, let's say you do a new God of War or a new Horizon or a new Spider-Man, those PS4 versions need to go away. Like, we need to see what the current generation is capable of. Spider-Man 2, I think, was a very good example of that.
Because I think we're already seeing that.
And that's my point, too. Because, like, that needs to stay consistent. Like, yeah. Like it's there. It needs to just not go away is my whole point.
I think it's also hard because there is still a very big PS4 player base. So,
and there,
like,
is, yeah.
Even, like, for going on 5 years into the system's lifespan, like, people are still playing, even people on my friends list are still consistently playing their PS4. They haven't felt the need to upgrade. So it's very hard to just also be like, and I'm not disagreeing with you, because I get it. Yeah, I would also like for them to be at a point where everything looks as good and is, you know, performing as good as it can on a PS5. But I think as far as, you know, business decisions, it would be kind of hard when your PS4 install base is still so large, which kind of sucks. Chrissy, what about you? PS5 Pro, what do you think?
I mean, I think I agree with you, is that I think we've seen what the PS5 can do already. However, they really do need to implement Bluetooth.
Fair enough. Would you buy a PS5 Pro?
Probably not now. Maybe if there's, like, a special edition Kingdom Hearts one, I'll get one.
That's another way you can get me. Just make a Kingdom Hearts version. I'll get that. And I won't hear from GameStop.
Here's a Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry that you guys have... I've not had issues with GameStop yet. Like, knock on wood, but I haven't had the issues with GameStop yet.
I've had issues after my friend left.
I'm so sorry, y'all. So has anybody here played Sea of Stars, or do you guys just not like games?
Oh, the demo's really great. I finished the shit out of that demo. It was great.
So, I don't know if you guys know, but Sea of Stars is getting local 3-player co-op to celebrate its anniversary.
Really? And my 2 other friends.
Yeah, Gabe!
Yeah, so a lot of people wanted it originally, and I believe it was announced on their Twitter that an update is coming to the game so that players are able to play 3-player couch co-op. And I double-checked it because I didn't want to lie to you guys. I looked it up on NintendoLife.com, and this is written by Ollie Reynolds. And it is confirmed that they have surpassed... It was a celebration for surpassing 5 million players. So
wow.
It says Sea of Stars has now surpassed 5 million players worldwide since its launch on August 29, 2023. To celebrate, it has teased a new 3-player couch co-op mode, officially dubbed Single Player Plus. While the short video about just demonstrates basic traversal for the time being, in which you can see the blue-haired Solstice warrior Valier being brought back into the fold via a handy bubble, like, you know, when you walk away and you get brought back. Sabotage notes that co-op will allow 3 players to engage in a new co-op timed hits mechanic. This presumably will entail each player taking turns in combat and working together during specific attacks. The new mode is in development now, with Sabotage promising more details soon. So yeah, that's coming. And it just reminded me of me not being able to experience Final Fantasy VI as a co-op game.
That also, I think Secret of Mana had that as well, where if you had another controller plugged in, another person could play as well. And I'm pretty sure Tales of Symphonia does that as well, where if you had a second player, they could do battles together. So this is definitely something that... This is definitely something I've seen before. It's very cool that Sea of Stars is incorporating it.
Yeah, like, I'm very excited to actually, you know, go through that game a little bit more with some friends. If only you guys lived closer.
If only. I mean, Chrissy and I, you want to have a 5-hour drive for gaming sessions?
Chrissy is like, no. I
barely even drive 25 minutes. My job is 21 minutes away from me.
That's great.
5 hours nice. Sounds tough.
That's my job is very nice. 5 minutes away from me. So,
yeah, like, I work at home. I'm so cool.
No. I'm talking about my other job. It's literally 5 minutes away from me. Okay. I guess I'll just move on.
I mean, if Jarrell takes a bike instead of a car, it can be 21 minutes, I suppose.
No, I've taken a bike, and I literally used to ride a bike to work. I used to ride
5 minutes to bike? To wow, work. That's
no,
awesome.
No, not 5 no. minutes to bike. Five I'm saying minutes, I used I mean, a bike to ride a bike to go to work for okay, a long time.
I see.
Until my bike broke. You know, you got to stay in shape.
Okay.
Sure. And I would listen to a fun video game soundtracks and pretend, never mind. Just know it was a great ride. They were great.
You played some Pokemon bike themes, didn't you?
I 100% did. 100% did. And then my bike broke, so now I have to drive like a normie.
Well, it's all Pikachu's fault, clearly.
Right? You know what you don't have to pay for when you ride a bike? An insurance policy. So let's talk about... The Return of Gamergate is smaller and sadder, from The Verge, written by Ash Parrish. A group of gamers has mobilized a harassment campaign against a story consultant company, marginalized developers, and journalists in protest of what they see as forced diversity in gaming. I'm bringing this up because usually we talk about diversity in gaming, and we have not talked about this issue yet. So I'm just going to read a little bit of this, not the whole thing, just so we're all aware of what's going on. Feel free to give an opinion on it if you want to. You don't have to. This is just a news story, so I'm reporting on the news as reported by The Verge. So, what is happening? Well, I'll tell ya. Where will I start? Okay, so yeah, it's all about a company called Sweet Baby Inc. I don't know if you guys have seen any of this or what's going on, but we're going to read a little bit of this. There's a harassment campaign against them. It says, the harassment campaign against Sweet Baby echoes the Gamergate movement of 10 years ago, once again targeting women, people of color, and journalists in the games industry. But this time, the events are playing out differently. Developers and gamers are pushing back, affirming that kind of diversity these people... Affirming that the kind of diversity these people rail against is here to stay. And after speaking with Sweet Baby employees and spending time with their detractors, it's clear the goals of this harassment campaign are largely a reactionary backlash against trends in video games that cannot be meaningfully stopped. Sweet Baby was co-founded in Montreal in 2018 by Bedard, who previously worked in games marketing at Eidos and Ubisoft, and Kim Belair, a writer and narrative designer who worked at Ubisoft and Reflector Entertainment. The narrative development company offers services like script writing, story reviews, and sensitivity readings. Essentially, everything that touches storytelling in games, whether creative or technical, Belair said in an interview with The Verge. The Neo Gamergate fervor surrounding Sweet Baby started with a Brazilian Steam user by the name of Cabrutus. In January, he created the Steam curation page called Sweet Baby Ink Detected, SBID, which the page's description explains is a tracker for games involved with Sweet Baby Ink. According to an interview with Cabrutus in Geeks and Gamers, he believes Sweet Baby is responsible for forcing political agendas and DEI, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion, into their games. Cabrutus believes that any diverse characters or stories in Sweet Baby games are the result of its employees exerting pressure on developers to make additions or changes they might not otherwise make. Quote, I started noticing patterns in some games, like ugly women and male characters being weakened to male female ones, to make female ones look stronger. The game that brought his attention to Sweet Baby was God of War Ragnarok. Quote, I think anyone who played God of War 3 would find it really weird when Kratos decides to spare Thor and says, we must be better. That simply didn't fit the character. According to Cabrutus and thousands of followers he's recruited through his Steam group and Discord server, developers have no choice but to make these woke narrative changes. SBID argues the game companies are forced to add wokeness to improve their ESG scores, a measure of environmental, social, and governance considerations, if they want to land investors. SBID supporters also argue that Sweet Baby has coerced developers into making changes through fear, pointing to out-of-context quotes from the company. I'm going to skip down a little bit more for another quote by Mary Kenny, who says they consult. Mary Kenny is the associate narrative director on the forthcoming Wolverine game from Insomniac Games, who worked with Sweet Baby on another Insomniac title, Marvel Spider-Man 2. They consult, they do research, they pitch ideas and give feedback and maybe even write scripts. But none of that gets into the game unless the core dev team agrees with it. Sometimes we'll be brought in to just look at a project storyline to give feedback on it to find ways that it can be kind of better aligned with gameplay mechanics, Belair said. Kyle Rowley, game director on Alan Wake 2, responded to a rumor on X that Sweet Baby was responsible for changing Saga Anderson, one of the game's main characters, from a white woman to a black woman. He said it is absolutely not true. To date, Cabrutus' curation list features 16 games, including Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, and Sable. All the games on the list are marked as not recommended, a rating that has nothing to do with the game's quality, but everything to do with the fact that it has involved Sweet Baby and has supposed forced diversity. quote, we're just tired of seeing people's creative visions being butchered in order to add something that's not even necessary or asked for, wrote Zinji, a moderator for the Discord, in a DM conversation. The reality is game development, especially AAA games, involves contributions from massive multidisciplinary teams, and it's actually quite difficult to attribute any one element to an individual or specific team. And I'm gonna stop there. I think you guys get, like, the gist of what's happening. I will actually give one more quote. It says, I've never in my entire career seen anyone pressure a developer to make a character more queer or less white, wrote Christian Pollock, a veteran game developer. I have, however, seen many instances of developers being forced to change their characters to be straight and or white. And I think that is a great quote to end this on, because it kind of encompasses the current industry. And there was a whole thing when, you know, they talked about Marvel Spider-Man 2, right? Because the group was going against Marvel Spider-Man 2 for all the forced diversity, and they talked about how, you know, Sweet Baby was, and you can see that Sweet Baby Inc. has been involved, because obviously they're going to be on the credits as involved with consultation for ensuring that these things are portrayed properly. And they kind of just went in talking about how, you know, they, how could they be about diversity, and they got the flags wrong, and they're speaking broken Spanish that's meant to be considerate to other people, but it's not real Spanish because Spanish speakers don't understand it, because it's not native Spanish, because they're trying to change the language so that they can fit, you know, they could fit all types of people under it, and that's not right. And, you know, I gave the example of God of War. Kratos would never be a little bitch. Like, these are clearly all these people that are going in and forcing people to change the way they make games. The most important thing here is just that that's not what happens. They are a consult. They are a consultation agency. So all they can do is give suggestions, maybe write scripts, as mentioned. And the people that are making these games can take those suggestions, or they cannot take those suggestions. And usually they're hiring these people to make sure that they're not being assholes. And like the last quote said, most of the time, people are forced to make straight white male characters, not the other way around. I'll actually read one more quote for them, from them. It says, "My problem with most media nowadays is that they include black or LGBTQ characters without giving some thoughts about them," wrote SBID's Discord moderator. "But they forget the most important aspect of a character, their relatability and how they feel like a real person that you can meet in real life." And the real reason I wanted to read that quote is because apparently, according to this moderator, I don't fucking exist. You can't meet me in real life because I'm not a thing. God forbid they put a black LGBT person in a game, because that how is that relatable to me? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I think that's a great quote to end on. If you have any thoughts about the current situation or what's going on or want to say anything, feel free to take the floor. I will include the rest of that article. I think it's a great read. I'll include it in the show notes for anyone to read up on.
Just give them what they want. Make a game that there's only white, burly men in it.
That's literally all. They all look there the same. Are that's, games
that's
like
it.
That.
No, that's it. That's it. No. But it's the same character model, and that's the population. That's all you do. And guess what? That's it. That's the game. That's just the white male, a generic white-looking man with, let's give him Ken's hair. Ken's hair, right? Not too burly, but not too skinny. You know, a nice, lean-cut man. And that's the game. That's all you're going to see in the game. It'll have a story. It'll have adventure, action, all you want. But that's all you're going to see. And it, you know what? Write it, you know, just write it like a regular game. And give them that game. And there, they can play that game for the rest of their lives.
They won't be satisfied. That's the problem.
No, they will, though, because the game doesn't have black people. Doesn't have Hispanics. No one's queer. There's no women. Because apparently, to be straight, you can't like women in your games. You know, forcing too many women, you know, God forbid we have a game like Stellar Blade, or, you know, we have a game like The Legend of Zelda, where Zelda is no longer just a helpless princess. She actually has some type of flesh to her character.
Wait until all they want. Princess Peach.
Oh my gosh.
No.
Just give them a regular game with the same character model for every single character. Don't change anything about them. Don't even change their name. They all have the same name, the same look, same voice, same character texture, character model, and that's it. And they can be happy for the rest of their lives.
And just call the game the regular game for non-diverse persons.
Call it the non-woke game.
Quickly. Both of those titles, they'll buy it so quickly. One's the title, one's the tagline, they'll buy it so quickly. I think that, like, I think the problem is they like, so many games that, like, never mind. I don't care.
There's also a lot of games that come out with the protagonist being a white male.
That's literally where I was going. Like, almost every game is a white male protagonist.
So,
like,
many games
you
like that.
You already have this.
Y'all think there's an... I'm sorry. Is the implication that we're losing those games? Like, those games still exist. Like, you can still play those games. They're not leaving. All I have to say on this subject is it just sounds like a bunch of losers, and that's absolutely what they are being challenged from the status quo that they've had for far too many decades. And rather than accept that, you know, there's more than one kind of person out there in the world, they are instead choosing to respond with ignorance on kind of like a huge level. The fact that they got, like, as you were explaining this story, Jerome, the fact that they got all those details wrong is very telling about the fact that they just actually don't understand what they're talking about.
Exactly.
And they're just uncomfortable by seeing something that they are not used to and cannot relate to, that they have fully admitted that they are not out there touching grass and meeting people, so that they just want the games to be the same that they have always been since, I guess, the 80s or 70s or what have you, essentially. They just simply do not request change. And yeah, those two examples, I'm going to fully admit that I have not as of yet played the most recent two God of War games, but from everything I've heard and what I have seen from some gameplay clips, that seems like, yeah, the old Kratos to Thor would have iced him immediately. But from what I have seen of the new God of War games, you know, Kratos has, shocking, I know, grown as a character, gone through character development, and maybe it's not maybe he's not a bitch for just wanting to ice Thor.
No, like, that's the whole thing.
The about whole the, point. The God like, War yeah, games. That's literally yeah. the whole
His,
point.
Is like, He's fighting to not be his old self. It's like you said, like, oh my gosh, God forbid someone have a character arc.
Yeah. And then for the Spider-Man one, that's just like, y'all really don't know no fucking Hispanic people, because not only are there many kinds of Hispanic dialects, so they're not breaking nobody. Like, it could be like, there's Dominican dialect, there's Puerto Rican dialect, there's Mexican dialect, Colombian, what have you. There's a lot of different types of Hispanic people. Then there's not just the one Spanish that is said by people of Spain. And moreover,
that sucks.
Like, sorry. Broken Spanish, motherfuckers, you really are telling yourself that y'all don't talk to enough Hispanic people, because Spanglish is a real thing that happens in a lot of families. And my family does Spanglish, like, constantly. We are constantly switching back between a Spanish word or two back to English. It's just, like, just ignorance. It's all it really is. Ignorance, and then choosing to instead read a book or talk to people. They are just yelling at the internet. So, like, I said,
we
losers.
Play video games. We don't read books and talk to people. That's... Come on, yeah. Man. Come on.
So I think the context for that was more so as using terms like Latinx, when Latino is meant to be all-encompassing. So they mean like changing language in that way.
If that's the case,
just the messenger.
The new Spider-Man game doesn't do that. None of the Miles Morales and the new one don't do that. They say Latinos and Latinas. They don't say Latinx. Okay. Imagine talking about a game you don't know.
You mean like them? Like every game? Yes, imagine that was talking about how you don't know anything at all.
Going back to God of War, I think we talked about this on the podcast even, how the original creator doesn't like what they're doing with Kratos because the character has actually grown, and that he's actually wishes that he was still just the kill everything guy was in the original. I had to make it count. That he was still the all killing, I hate everything guy that he was in the original games. You know, the ones that had a super niche audience compared to these ones that are just like getting a lot bigger audience. Yeah, you want that? All right, cool.
I mean, don't get me wrong. A sex scene in a game is always fun, but that guy's God of War games. Hold on, that guy's God of War games had the worst sex scenes in the world.
They did.
I don't think he should be talking. I remember playing the PSP version. The city of Athens is being burned to the ground. You're fighting a shit ton of people. You go into this one room, a crumbling building, and there's two women on top of each other. It's like, oh, press circle to have sex. I was like, my brother in Christ. Sorry, my brother in Zeus. The world is falling apart around us right now. As much as I love ass, I'm not going to stop to do that.
Yeah.
I am going to try and get out of that building. So I think maybe he should, you know, and also if he wanted Kratos to continue that way, maybe he should have done a better job at keeping his job with Santa Monica or with PlayStation.
This is completely unrelated, but you said PSP in Athens, and I just... And Chrissy will know what I'm talking about here. I'm just reminded of that scene in Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep where Terra fought against Zack Fair, beat him, and then Zack Fair is saying, "Hey, you're a hero. Look at all the people cheering." And then it just cuts to the stages, which are empty. It's like, where's the cheering coming from? Oh, sorry, this is a PSP game. We can't actually show characters cheering. We can't
put people just, in the stands, just, bro. Just listen just, to just, the cheering.
Just pretend. Just believe Zach. Zach will never steer you wrong. There's people cheering. I know that was a side tangent, but I just had to get out there because that's
okay. I will say the biggest problem with this is all the harassment that has been sent to the employees of Sweet Baby Inc., of course, by these assholes. But luckily, a lot of game companies are coming out and in defense of Sweet Baby Inc. and talking about how great it is that you were working with them and how wonderful that was. And I mean, you also, I'll read another quote here from someone in the Discord that said, "When I act racist, homophobic, or whatever, I feel free." So there you go. Like, you're just like, and I'm happy that you can freely express your racism and homophobia in a Discord with more racist and homophobic people. But unfortunately for you guys, games are not going to get less diverse. Like, it's only going to continue because luckily we have more diverse people making games. And even when we don't, you have people that realize that the world is, you know, bigger and more full than your view of it, because you can go find any straight white male in a video in like literally any game you pick up. However, other marginalized individuals do not have that luxury, so fuck you. Christy, did you have anything to say about this? You don't have to, it's okay. All right.
Nope.
I think we're good.
Everybody good? That's a podcast.
That was a podcast. I want to end on a happy note, so...
Ooh, what's a happy note?
I don't have one. So goodbye, everybody!
Goodbye!
we're just going to say happy thoughts. Oh, I got a happy thought!
Oh, okay.
It's not a happy thought. We were talking about Final Fantasy earlier, so you can cut us out on me doing the Tidus laugh. One, two, three.